Welcome back, everybody, to Menace Podman, your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. I am Scott Keller, along with Steve St. Pierre. Hopefully, everybody enjoyed the Summer League action. It's kind of wrapped up here last week, or this week, I guess, as we're recording this. But today, just a quick summary. You know, we're going to give a wrap-up, final Summer League thoughts. We got a really quick WNBA update. Not much happened over the week other than the All-Star game. Then we'll get back into our individual team breakdowns. This week, we'll actually focus on West Group B, which includes Memphis, LA, the Lakers, Utah, Portland, Phoenix. And then we also have to go back to last week's Houston that we did not fit into the show. And I think that's about it.
We're doing Group A today. Group B we did, except for Houston.
Thank you for the correction.
Yep. No worries.
My notes are overlapping.
It's confusing. Yeah, we started with B. But now we're circling back around.
Exactly. Okay, so B to A. Got it. Anyways, let's get started.
Name on your paper, first thing.
So as always, like to start off with some good news. This I actually just came across yesterday, but I think it was out for a while. Basically, this surrounds around the Air movie, that Michael Jordan Air movie. Mm-hmm. I'll admit I haven't seen it. I probably won't watch it for a while. One day when I'm bored, I'll probably throw it on. But Amazon movie directed by Ben Affleck, stars Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Jason Bateman's in it, and Viola Davis is in it as well.
Yeah, it looks decent.
Yeah, no, it looks great. I watched a preview again. The first time I saw a preview, I was like, you know, I don't know about this. It kind of looks weird. Once I started learning more about it and watching more extended previews, I was like, yeah, I'll probably end up giving this a try.
But yeah.
Regardless, there's a author, autism advocate, she's an activist. She owns her own podcasting production publications company from, you know, she's in Minnesota. She lives in Minnesota. Shiletta Brundage. You can find her at ShelettaMakesMeLaugh.com or at Shiletta is funny on Twitter. Nonetheless, she's just an awesome person all around. You can look her up. I started doing some Wikipedia and searches on the internet yesterday. Just a really cool person. But she put out an article basically focusing on Michael Jordan's mom, Dolores Jordan, which we don't hear much about. We hear everything about Michael, not too much about his mother. We hear about his father and the passing of his father and things.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, she's awesome. Basically, so Michael Jordan, 1984, I believe, was the year he started playing for North Carolina. And ever since then, she's basically just devoted her life to philanthropy and things like that. So 1989, MJ Foundation was created, or Michael Jordan Foundation, for disadvantaged children, and she was kind of the backbone behind that, starting that. They started Michael Jordan Education Club. Then his dad passed away. That was 93, I believe. And she helps build the Boys and Girls Club in his father's name and his honor. To this day, she just continues doing things, impacting initiatives for the foundations, and providing all kinds of support for underprivileged children. So she does charity work abroad, supporting healthcare services in Kenya. She's all over the place, and she still does it. She's done it ever since Michael Jordan started. And it's just cool to hear a story of a family member that took the success of, you know, their son or daughter or whoever, and turned it into, you know, just awesomeness, giving to everybody else. And she's just a very charitable woman. So I wanted to give props to her.
Yeah, absolutely. That is really, really cool. And like you said, we do not hear about her or any of their family really, like, ever. Like you said, I mean, we know all about his dad and that whole situation, but you never hear about his mom. And even Michael Jordan himself, you know, is a private guy. You know, I saw that picture that came out the other day where he was hanging out with, like, Magic Johnson and Samuel Jackson and a couple other people. They were at some kind of party, and that felt like the most personable thing I had seen about MJ in a long, long time. So very rare to see or hear about him or his family in the public eye. But in any case, yeah, that's really cool. Good for her. Super classy. Keep up the good work.
Yep. And I guess, yeah, because Viola Davis plays her in the movie, and I didn't realize how much of a part she had too in the whole Air Jordan and the starting the Nike shoes and everything and getting that all together. She was probably without her that it probably isn't what it is today. So
yeah, and that does make that movie even more appealing now.
Exactly. So yeah, I probably will end up watching it sometime. I think it came out in April, but
yeah, yeah, I'll eventually catch it too.
But yeah. Yeah. So also one thing before I continue, keep going. We are, I don't know if Morgan listens to the podcast, but we're watching my brother-in-law's dog or sister-in-law or whatever. So my wife's family's dog, whatever. So if it gets crazy, I apologize. Hopefully it doesn't get too loud today while we record this.
Playing it by ear.
Let's see. Where do we go from here? I'm just going to jump and get the WNBA stuff over with early today. It wasn't too crazy, obviously, because of the All-Star game. But I guess the only notes from that, it was the most watched All-Star game in 16 years. So obviously, we see all the numbers going up with WNBA gaining some traction here, which is always nice to hear. And yep. But yeah, no, Jewel Lade was the MVP. And if I had to pick one person who would have come out as the MVP, that's the person I would have picked. So maybe I should have put a wager on her. she's just torn it up all year. One cool thing, they added a 4-point spot, or two spots. So it was kind of between the almost the logo area and the 3-point line, and then one on, I guess I don't know how to explain it, towards the sidelines, though. So two of them kind of the arcs between the corner of the 3-point arc. But that was cool. A few of those 4 points were hit, and I watched it in the ESPN notes, and it said, you know, Jewel Lade hits a 3-pointer and then one of one from free throws. They didn't have anything to put in for a 4-point shot. So that was kind of funny.
But, yeah. I said the other day, you know, that WNBA is kind of the guinea pig with some of this stuff. And
it is. Yeah.
I mean, it's, you got to start somewhere. So, you know, I commend them for, you know, stepping up and giving it a try. I have kind of mixed feelings on that, but, you know, especially for an All-Star game, it's cool. You know, yep. Just put it in there, try it out. It's something new. It's something different. And, you know, if people don't like it, it's one game and they can easily, you know, scratch it from there.
Yeah. I personally don't really care for it. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think anybody's asking for it. I think people are just going, oh, people are shooting further out. So, you know, give them something for it. But
whatever. And this isn't meant as any disrespect, but I mean, women aren't as strong as men. They're not going to be out there gunning it from that far that often. You know, I think in the NBA game, you'll see guys like Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, Trae Young, you know, they'll be jacking them up from out there. But yeah, it's just, but you got to start somewhere, like I said. And, you know, even in the men's game, I agree with you. I have a lot of mixed feelings on if and when that, you know, belongs in the game at all. So
yeah, I would say I think back historically and I'm like, there was no 3-point line at one point and they added that. That's good enough for me. That's all I mean, because what happened, you give a mouse a cookie, right? you give them a 3-point line, then you give them a 4-point spot, then what they're going to say, half court shots are 5 points, and you know, it goes on forever, right? If you really want to. So
it's a scary thought, but you know, we'll see what happens. You know, it might work its way to the G League or something like that. And, you know,
it could,
but we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it.
Nonetheless, they announced Phoenix will host the All-Star game next year for the WNBA, which should be pretty cool. And I guess not really surprised it goes there. There's a lot, I don't know. There's
a lot going on with that organization. We're going to be talking about them.
There's a lot going on with the organization, and they have, you know, a player that I think they're going to, the milk the news out forever. But welcome back, BG. As far as people you can pick up though this week, well, actually, one thing too, we talked about it off here real quick right before we started, but there's some afternoon games that just get sprinkled in, so pay attention to those. Make sure you get your lineup set almost the night before now with WNBA, especially the weekdays, and then the weekends there's a lot of afternoon games too as well, so make sure.
Good call.
Make sure you check those out. But just a couple people I love. I actually, one correction I have to make. I think I referred to Phoenix's Suge Sutton as Sug before. So I'm not a WNBA expert by any means. I'm sure I have a little more knowledge than the average person, but I apologize to her if I'm pretty sure I mispronounced her name in the past. So it's Suge, like sugar.
Well, I didn't catch it either, so I'm right there with you.
So yeah, I call myself out. But Azaray Stevens, one person, LA Sparks, I like her. And I think she's owned in maybe 80% of leagues, but if she's not owned in your league, go check it out because she could be very useful. And then just a repeat of the last 2 weeks, Tiana Hawkins, Mystics, Nia Coffey, Atlanta, and Dulce Afancum, Menjiadu, Jordan Horston in Seattle. All available pickups if they're there if you need somebody.
But solid list.
One other thing is we talked about All-Star Game, you know, maybe trying 4-point spot there. So different things. There was a tweet that came out from Daily NBA Fantasy, and it said, should the NBA adopt the Elam ending for regular season games? And we know a little bit about the Elam ending. We've used it in the NBA All-Star Game for a while now, I think. I know we used it definitely. They added the 24 points to set the score when, you know, the Kobe Bryant stuff happened, so to honor him. But it basically, you're just setting a target score. And I started thinking about it, and I kind of like it. I actually thought of all these. I kind of made a list of pros and cons, and I had way more pros than cons on it. I don't know what your thoughts are on it.
So my thoughts are kind of, I like it the way that it is because I'm just used to that in terms of like strategy and stuff at the end of the games, you know, the buzzer beaters and, you know, from a coaching standpoint, you know, just making adjustments and stuff, adjusting to the clock. Also, we know with the clock running and stuff, we know how much time is left. It just makes it a little bit easier. I think when you have a score that you're targeting, that can sometimes, you know, make it tricky as far as like trying to get the game to go quick. You know, we were talking about how Jeff Van Gundy was saying that the game needs to move faster, not slower at this point. And I kind of agree with him on that. So I love it for stuff like All-Star games. You know, just kind of that kind of thing where it's just doing something different to just kind of, you know, showcase it, use it there. But in terms of the regular game, the regular NBA game, and even like G League, you know, any of the college, any level, I love it the way it is, having the running clock. Part of it is because, you know, like that's just kind of what I'm used to. But also, like I said, I just in terms of like keeping the game going and knowing kind of like where we stand, you know, what's the score, how much time's left on the clock, what can we do, what adjustments can we make, you know, yada, yada, yada. But it's cool. It's a cool idea. And like I said, I love it for, you know, All-Star games and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm going to say as far as background, Elam ending, was developed by a Ball State University professor, Nick Elam. And he just thought, watching college hoops, the game just takes forever to play out the final minute. So that was kind of his idea about how to create it and things like that. As far as my, like saying my pros that I kept thinking of, it reminds me of street ball kind of, where you get the, you know, you're going to 21 or whatever. Yep. So that was kind of cool, bringing that, it's kind of intriguing that way. And we saw it turn out pretty well, I think, in the, you know, in the All-Star game endings and stuff, like Anthony Davis hits a free throw to win it. Like, that's interesting. And then also I was thinking about comps, like over the years, how we keep comparing people and, you know, comparing the LeBrons to the MJs and, you know, who's better and, or whatnot, and who's got better, you know, scoring averages and things like that. Obviously in today's game, there's a lot more threes. So I think people are scoring more points than in the past because three is more than two. Mm-hmm. So I think it would kind of like level the playing field a little bit. So even if the game changes a little bit, the amount of points, assists, things like that would still stay rather consistent by containing it within a certain, target score for an end game. I don't know, just a thought. And then also dragging out the blowouts. We've seen, it seemed like in the last couple of years, there's been a lot more blowouts in the NBA. Maybe just because of, you know, resting people and things like that. And not playing the full rosters, but I hate those games. You get to like the final quarter and it's a 30-point game.
Yeah. It would be cool to kind of like incorporate that almost like a mercy rule.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say that.
But the downside to that is then, you know, you're dealing with different stats and stuff. I think for us fantasy guys, I think that would impact things a little bit negatively, just as far as shortening that particular game, you know, then anybody who's playing fantasy that night gets kind of screwed out of a full game. So, you know, there's definitely ups and downs with it. It's not a horrible idea by any means. And I agree with everything that you said. I think, you know, those are all positive points. And who knows, you know, they'll always look at new ideas. And, you know, if they're looking to spice things up or change things up a little bit. That's definitely something that they could do at any point. So we'll see. I love it for all-star games. And even like, I don't remember the big three, what they do, if they have a running clock or if they do the Elam ending, but stuff like that, I'm all for it. Cause I do agree with you. I think it's kind of cool. It gives it that like almost street ball kind of vibe. Like, hey, we're playing up to this number.
Yeah. And like the FIBA we talked about in a previous episode, they have their, you know, kind of final score they're going towards. And that was really cool. Super exciting. So, yeah, I guess everything has its pros and cons, but
for sure.
I love it. All right. So let's jump over, wrap up Summer League thoughts. I just saw this article July 18th. So what is that? A couple days ago, just came out. It said NBA 2K24 Summer League. It was the second most watched Summer League ever.
Yep.
Obviously, there was a lot of hype with Wembanyama. I think that probably helped. But I'm also thinking maybe these numbers are starting to get a little stretched. Not completely. It was still very popular. But now you can watch things on the app. You can watch stream things. It's just available on more platforms. And they talked about 814 million video views across NBA social media platforms, which can be anything, endless. So if all that was available other years of Summer League, maybe it's not as high in the rankings. But
no, still, I completely agree. I think it's definitely because of the technology, the ways that we can watch the game. But having said that, you know, at least we have it now, and it's definitely a good thing. It's definitely getting the game out there to more viewers, you know, than it did in the past. And that's a great thing. That's a good sign for where we're headed. And it's great for the fans. You know, we get to be able to, you know, watch from wherever and, you know, while we're multitasking and doing other things, it's great.
No, completely agreed. I saw the All Summer League first and second team came out, and I was just going to run through those names. I think a lot of these we already know, but some of them actually popped out that I didn't even pay attention to. So on the first team was Keontae George, Utah. We mentioned Sam Merrill with Cleveland, the City of Champions. Orlando Robinson with the Heat, Cam Whitmore with the Rockets, who you brought up and said he was looking great last week. And then Hunter Tyson with Denver. That's the guy completely I had no idea about, wasn't even paying attention to. And I looked up stats and I was like, okay, yeah, he was a beast. But
a big snub for Isaiah Mobley too on the Cavs. He was the MVP of the Vegas tournament and didn't get on the all league teams, but nonetheless, he had a great summer league and looks really good. And like you said, the Cavs wound up winning the tournament and their future's bright. You know, we talked about some of the moves that they made this off season and their bench is just looking better and better. So who knows? They could be making a nice deep run here in the playoffs this year. We'll see.
Yeah. And we also talked about them, you know, rolling the dice with Imani Bates in the draft.
Yeah.
We talked about how that was, you know, just nothing but upside if that works out.
Yeah.
And he made the Summer League second team.
Yeah.
So he looks great along with Jalen Wilson of the Nets, Jabari Smith Jr. the Rockets, Xavier Moon with the Clippers, Javon Freeman Liberty with the Bulls, and then Max Christie with the Lakers. So
yeah, all of those guys played really well, looked good.
Well, yeah. That's all I got in Summer League. I don't have anything more to say on that. I don't know if you got any other comments on that. Okay. Let's see. What do we got? Oh, I think you got a few short updates here.
I do. Yeah. Another quiet week. I think we're really starting to kind of settle in. You know, I was looking at all the rosters and they're pretty full. You know, we talked about how, you know, between all these rookies coming in and signing their deals. And then of course, you know, the huge, you know, when we first started free agency and, you know, we had our emergency pod, we covered everything. I mean, a lot of that stuff filled up the majority of roster spots that were open. So it's getting pretty picked over here. But nonetheless, we've got a few moves here. There was a trade. Cameron Payne was traded to the Spurs along with a second round pick in cash. The Phoenix Suns get a future second round pick. So they cleared out some more space. And they freed up a roster spot so that they could go out and officially sign Bol Bol. We talked about how he was available and how he was probably going to sign with the Suns. There was the report that he was expected to do that. That is now official. So he is a member of the Phoenix Suns. We talked all about it. They've made some great moves. We're going to get into their roster a little bit too here. But yeah, that's just another solid pickup for them. They're looking really good. They've done a great job of, you know, staying within that whole, you know, part of the luxury tax so that they're not overpaying. They've done a great job of just filling out the roster. So we'll get into it more in depth here in a little bit. Nerlens Noel agreed to a 1-year deal with the Sacramento Kings. That's a solid pickup, you know, just a backup big man that could come in and help them out. You know, he's always been a good player, just hasn't, you know, become the, you know, dominant center that he was hoping to be coming out of the draft. But nonetheless, he's had a good career for himself. He's been a productive player and he's going to help them. So that's a good pick. Darius Bazley, he signed a 1-year deal with the Brooklyn Nets. Omer Yurtseven, is that how you say his last name? He was on the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
I'm going with that, Yurtseven. He signed a 2-year deal with the Utah Jazz, and he looked good for Miami at times. He's been kind of in and out of the lineup. He's had some injury stuff. So, you know, just a good kind of backup who should continue to develop and, you know, kind of fits in with the rest of that team in terms of like their timeline and stuff. So, good pickup there. We had a handful of guys that got waived. Rudy Gay got waived by the Thunder, and he's a guy that I think, like we talked about him before. You know, I was kind of surprised that Atlanta didn't keep him. You know, I thought he would have been a good fit for them. Give them kind of a veteran presence, somebody that's played under Quinn Snyder. You know, we talked all about that. He's getting up there. He's been around for a long time. But he can still play. I think he can still help a team. So I expect him to get picked up by somebody, but we'll see. He's got options. And then some other guys that got waived, Edmund Sumner and Raekwon Gray both got waived by the Brooklyn Nets. Lamar Stevens got waived by the Spurs. And Joe Wieskamp got waived by the Toronto Raptors. So those guys are all available. We'll see if they wind up anywhere in the NBA or elsewhere.
Nice.
Yep.
And then also OKC, right? Extended their head coach. I think that was a couple of days ago.
I saw that. Yeah. That's a good good move.
Not that it's a player move, but yeah. Yep. No, I love what they got going on OKC.
Yep.
I always pronounce his name wrong. Daniel.
Dagnall. Yeah. He's a good coach, young guy. Perfect fit for them. We'll get into them at some point here too, but we'll save that for the next group.
Exactly. I think two other quick things before we jump into the teams. One, you mentioned to me that you tried doing a few mock drafts. Was that on ESPN or?
It is. Yeah. ESPN is up and open. And yeah, I saw even RotoWire /NBA.com. They're posted on both sites. They did a mock draft, an industry mock draft. Theirs, I think, was an 8-cat league, Roto.
Okay.
12 so team.
You sent me some results of yours, and I was like, no, this can't be real.
Yeah, you know, the thing is ESPN's rankings are all over the place, regardless of what format you use, you know, for your league, whatever draft you jump into. And then plus, you know, if you don't have a full draft, you got the robot picks, and they're going right off the pre-rankings. And yeah, I'm not a big fan of ESPN. I'm a way bigger fan of Yahoo. And I feel like Yahoo usually has, you know, pretty solid pre-rankings, even from the tip. But definitely once mock drafts start going, they make adjustments and they usually do a really good job. It winds up being a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure when Yahoo's going to open registration. We've talked about this before kind of off air, but they used to always do it mid-August. It was always like, you know, right in the middle of August when things were real quiet, you know, the schedule would come out and then immediately they would open up registration. But last year they opened up like around this time. It was like maybe late July. So who knows? They might open up early. I think it helps for them to have the schedule so that they can kind of have everybody in place.
Sure.
And then it helps us because then we know, you know, who's playing when, and you can kind of look at the schedule. A lot of people that are in head-to-head, you know, leagues, they like to look at that playoff schedule and kind of for fantasy playoffs and get an idea of, you know, who has how many games those last few weeks, you know? Yeah.
Nope. That totally makes sense.
That helps for, you know, making your pre-rankings and stuff, making your late picks and stuff like that. But in any case, you know, mock drafts are mock drafts. They're always fun. They're always cool to try. And it's just a good idea to, you know, kind of get on there and kind of see where players are going right now. And, you know, some of the hot names that are out there, guys that are going too early, some that are going later. It's fun.
Yeah. Speaking of some hot names out there, we saw a lot of stuff in the news just recently. James Harden, of course, and then also the Draymond Green, Jordan Poole, endless. What to call about it. but you had mentioned there just a bunch of babies and things. I didn't know if you had anything you want to touch on that.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to our buddies Bill and Tim. We went to elementary school together, and we had a fifth grade teacher who would always, he said a couple things that I can't say on the air here. But one thing that he always used to say, he used to call everybody belly aching babies. You're a bunch of belly aching babies. And I just, I couldn't stop thinking of him and thinking of that all day long, just listening to those stories, the whole Harden and Daryl Morey and their, you know, the whole back and forth with them. And then this whole thing with, Draymond Green and Jordan Poole's apparently entire friends and family.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, in regards to the Harden thing, I mean, that's a basketball related thing where like he's apparently wanting off the team, but it's like, dude, what's your problem? You know what? I would like to know for all the people that cover this whole James Harden thing and they're writing about it and talking about it on different shows and whatnot, I would love to have somebody actually sit down with him and interview him and just ask him like, what's your problem? And like, what was your problem in Brooklyn? You know, why do you keep requesting all these trades? Like, what is it that you're after? Like, are you trying to pair up with other stars and try to actually win? Or do you want to be on a team where you can just be the man and you don't really care? You know, like, I would love to get his thoughts on exactly what's bothering him and making him want to do this, you know, try to force these trades, because he could have opted out of his contract. If he really wanted to go somewhere else, he could have just opted out and been a free agent. Then he can go wherever the hell you want.
Yeah.
So I would just love to get his take. You know, everybody else has an opinion on it. I would love to get his full opinion. It's not going to happen, but I would love to hear his side of the story and kind of like, what exactly does he want? What is he after? And then as far as the Draymond Green stuff, man, we talked about this off air. Man, I think you just move on at this point. It's old news. Who cares? You know, Jordan Poole, you're on a different team now. You're on a team where you can be more of a focal point. And this is a point in your career where you can kind of really start to make a name for yourself on the court versus this off the court stuff. So my advice to him and to his whole family and everything, just, you know, stay quiet. Just, you know, focus on the now. And, you know, Draymond's going to be Draymond. He's going to talk. You know, he's a talker. That's what motivates him. He's not going to stop. There's no point in trying.
Yeah, Draymond actually responded to a fake tweet.
I saw that. Yeah, about that KG. Kind
of yeah. So he'll talk to anything. He doesn't care.
Anything, anyone. That's what he does. And that's, you know, whatever. I mean, hey. We've talked about it before. That's what's made him successful. It's made him the player and person that he is today. So
completely.
At times it's annoying.
I'm going to dub
like
the,
now.
I got to dub the first. I said the Wizards Warriors first game of the season. That's going to be must watch TV. I'm going to call it WW1 World War One. It's going to be great. Wizards Warriors One. So
it's going to be great for about the first quarter until the score is like, you know, 25-7.
Exactly.
And then we're going to be asking for that, you know, that target score.
There you go. We need an Elam ending to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. As far as the Harden stuff, I think everybody knows how I feel about him. I hate him. So it doesn't surprise me one bit. But yeah, it would really be nice to know what the fuck your intentions are.
That's exactly.
It's kind of like, never mind. Oh, man. It's kind of like being in a relationship and, you know, get off the pot type thing. And
you got to communicate.
Let me know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Don't leave me on the hook if, you know, you want to get something done. So anyways, last Last thing here. I just noticed this tweet came up. Scott Van Pelt, the legend Scott Van Pelt. This guy on Twitter, I'm not even going to say his name because he sucks, but it says, I beg and plead for, you know, Scott Van Pelt to stop the golf gambling talk on the pod. They're 100% skippable. So SVP comes back with cool and skip it.
Yep.
Excellent answer. Great. But
excellent answer.
So yeah, I think we should get into the team breakdowns, but we will do that quickly right after this message. Hey, it's Scott from Menace Podman, and if you love sports and you're a somewhat low-key gambling degenerate like I am, you should definitely check out Outlier.bet. They have a super easy-to-use platform supported on both mobile and desktop sites, and it really allows you to crunch the numbers and make you get some confidence in the bets that you're making. You can do multiple things on Outlier. You can explore across multiple markets. You can get suggestions on and curated picks. You can analyze trends, matchup data, line movement. And my favorite feature, Outlier is integrated with multiple betting sites. So you can seamlessly transfer your picks to automatically fill out your bet slips with just as easy as two clicks. So there's a link directly in the show notes to Outlier. You should check them out. Click on the link, go to the site, sign up, get a free 7-day trial of Outlier, and go win some money. All right, so let's hop into the individual team breakdowns here. As you've let me know, I said Group B, but we started with Group B, but we have to finish Group B still in the West.
Yes.
So we will start this off finishing up Group B with the Houston Rockets. Let's take them to the moon.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, this is kind of the team that I've been excited to talk about them, but I'm also kind of dreading it because we've talked about how they went out and made all these moves and stuff. They had a great draft and they've got this whole group of like good young players. But then they spent all this money in free agency and brought in all these guys that, you know, are just going to take up a ton of, you know, they're going to take up all the playing time and stuff and push some of these guys off to the side. So we'll kind of get into it. Starting with Fred VanVleet, you got to start with him. He got the, you know, basically it's not a max contract because I think, what was it, only like 2 years with an option or something like that. But in any case, yeah, big numbers. He's going to be the man. He's going to be the absolute man. He's going to start at point guard, and he's a former champion. So he's going to bring that, you know, pedigree to this team. It's a good pickup in that regard. You know, he's going to start at the point, like I said, he's going to have the ball in his hands a ton, but that's going to push guys like Jalen Green, Kevin Porter, Amen Thompson, who they drafted. It's going to push those guys off to the side a little bit. You know, they're going to have to play off of him. And, you know, he won't play, I think, as much as he was playing in Toronto. I think they'll spread the minutes out a little bit more, but he's going to get a ton of time. They're going to be relying on him. And so those other guys are going to kind of take a back seat. So I do expect Jalen Green to still start at the two. Dylan Brooks, who they picked up, you know, I fully expect that he'll start at small forward. And same thing with him. You know, he doesn't have a ton of experience, but, the things that he did in Memphis, we talked about how he did a lot of bad and annoying stuff, said a lot of stuff. Yeah. But he does a lot of good things on the court, too, as far as, you know, like you've mentioned before, the defense. The toughness, you know, and that team desperately needs that. And, you know, they're going to get it. They're going to get it with him. So I fully expect him to start. Jabari Smith, he did not have the greatest rookie season, but he looked great this summer. And, you know, he's got a lot of momentum coming in. I think he's going to hold on to that starting power forward spot. But it is going to be close.
The summer league performance may have something to do. Say there too.
It might have saved him. Saved him a little bit, because I mean, if he had a bad summer, man, he would have had a tough time holding off some of these other guys. We'll get into it here in a second. Alperen Şengün is still the presumed starter at center, but they brought in a lot of guys. They brought in Jock Landale from Phoenix. He'll back up Şengün most likely. They brought in Uncle Jeff Green, veteran presence. I don't expect him to start at all, but I do think he's going to get decent minutes off the bench. I think they brought him in for a reason. I think he went there for a reason. You know, I think he, you know, had his role in Denver and probably would have been just fine going back there. But I think he wants to prove that he's still got something left in the tank to get more minutes on the court versus just being that like kind of locker room guy.
Yeah, I think he might be actually kind of, well, yeah, I think he might kind of be a mentor to Jabari Smith.
Yeah, but they've got so many forwards too. Tari Eason, who I love. Mm-hmm. We've talked all about him. I love him in fantasy. I love him in real life. But on this team, I don't think right now Tari Eason is
draftable.
I would touch
you right now if I could.
I don't love him that much, at least not right now. In fantasy, I was just about to say, I actually sadly took him off my draft board, which was hard to do. But I just think this team's so stacked. You've still got Jayshon Tate on the roster, and they have Cam Whitmore, who they drafted.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're crowd. It's a very crowded just rotation altogether. You know, getting all those guys down to like 9 or 10 is going to be tough. You know, we'll see injury wise and stuff what happens. But yeah, that's a crowded team, crowded backcourt, crowded frontcourt. You know, they're going to be a team to watch in preseason. We're going to have to see how the rotation shakes out, you know. New coaching staff, we talked all about them. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they look, and, you know, we'll keep an eye on them. But as far as fantasy right now, I'm looking at, you know, Van Vliet early.
Yep.
I'm looking at Şengün kind of mid rounds, and late rounds, I'm looking at maybe Jalen Green, maybe, depending on, you know, league format and kind of like team build. You know, he's got a lot of holes and flaws in his game, but I mean, scoring is scoring. You know, we were talking yesterday off air about like points leagues and stuff like that. He gets a huge boost.
He's getting better leagues, though, too. If you look at his projections, but you look at his past years, he's improving.
Oh, yeah. No question. So. Yeah. He's a young guy. He's got tons of talent. So, yeah, there's definitely room to grow. So, yeah, I definitely think he's draftable pretty much across the board. But I view him right now as more of a late round guy. And I would say the same thing about Jabari Smith. And that might be it. Kevin Porter Jr. had a pretty good season statistically, if you look at it.
Yes.
But he's going to get a huge bump down on this team. I don't expect him to start. And who knows, they might even make a trade here and kind of free up some space. Cause, yeah, I mean, they're paying him almost $16 million this upcoming season, and I just don't see him having the kind of role that he's had the last 2 years. So,
yeah, I would say as far as your fantasy stuff, that's exactly the spot on, the exact list I have, and I have Kevin Porter all the way at the end. But, yeah, if he's not getting as much time and starting and things like that, I think he falls off my list. And it's funny because Dylan Brooks is not a guy that you'd ever want on your list, and he moves into a starting spot, which kind of knocks a guy out of fantasy contention just because he's up in there. But then also just overall on Houston Rockets, for me, they remind me of a fully juiced farm system in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, they've got so much young talent on this team and this roster. And you said, like, it's almost too much. But it's great because they'll be able to just, you know, people that aren't performing and things, just move them out and move other people up, and it just hopefully be a, you know, just a opening in different areas where people can move up. So the Tari Eason's, like you said, can move up into spots, and Cam Whitmore can, you know, move where he needs to, and Amen Thompson. So
yeah,
it's going to be great to watch. It's going to be great to see how they develop. Like you said, watching them in a preseason and things like that is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I wonder if they're going to keep the roster the way that it is, or if they're going to make any other changes. But you know, I'll have my eye on Tari Eason the whole time. He'll be on my watch list all season. If anything happens, if somebody gets moved, somebody gets hurt, he'll be the first one to pick up.
Dylan Brooks could get suspended for doing some stupid shit.
Absolutely. If he says or does, if that happens, immediately run out and just grab Eason, just see what happens. You know, it doesn't guarantee anything. He might still, you know, get his playing time kind of jerked around a little bit. I mean, that's what happened last year. Even after they traded Eric Gordon and, you know, presumably freed up more time, he still didn't get as much run as he should have. We saw him in summer league. We talked about him. He looked great. So
you just said jerked around, and that would have been the perfect time to use my new drop, but I forgot to upload it.
Stay tuned. It's a nice tease right there.
Yes, it is.
All right. Before we go any further there.
Exactly.
Let's keep it moving.
Yep. So, yeah. So I think that does everything with Houston. So we will switch back over here to West Group A. You just want to start with Memphis here.
Sounds
Memphis
good.
Memphis finished second in the West, 51-31. And what ousted by the Lakers in the first round, as you had called. So,
welcome to the jungle, to Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. Yeah, we fine in the West, but they were not fine in the West at all.
This team is not fine in the West right now. You know, they know all about Ja Morant. We know about his suspension. Yeah, they're. I mean, okay, so Ja's going to be out. Yep. You know, they went out and got Marcus Smart. He'll start at the point while Ja's out. And I don't know what's going to happen when Ja comes back. I assume that Smart will slide over, possibly to the two spot, and they would slide Desmond Bain over to the three. That's kind of how I see it playing out. But they might wind up, you know, maybe bringing Smart off the bench. I don't really know. You know, we're going to kind of have to see. In the meantime, I think John Conchar slides into that small forward spot that Brooks vacated, and he looked good at times last year. I think he could be a sneaky fantasy guy, you know, kind of a last round flyer pick. You know, we'll watch him in preseason. I also think Luke Kennard, who, by the way, they're going to be paying him $15.5 million. So, you know, he looked really good last year too, when he went over to the Grizzlies, and, you know, I know they like him. So even if he doesn't start, I think he could be a sneaky fantasy guy. You know, at least for points and threes, could be kind of a, you know, just an ad drop kind of guy, which is what he's been his whole career. And then we've talked about their big men. Jaren Jackson Jr. is a stud. I think he's a first rounder this year. Easy, especially in nine cat. It's not even close. And especially while Ja's out, the usage and stuff's just going to be through the roof. So I don't think he's falling. But I did notice that ESPN's got him in like weird spots right now in their pre-rankings. So if you are drafting early and you're playing on ESPN, you could take full advantage. You could probably steal JJJ. And then their center position, I mean, it's just kind of a mess. You know, Steven Adams, you know, he's starting to kind of break down. You know, he's a good player. He's definitely more meaningful in real life than in fantasy at this point.
It's kind of a funny statement. Sorry.
It is, but it's true. And, you know, he means a lot to them. You know, he's a tough guy, and he's been through it, you know, with the Thunder a little bit. He has the experience. So they value him, but, you know, I don't think you can really count on him at this point. And then Brandon Clark's coming off the injury that he had. So, yeah, I kind of feel like they need to get a little bit deeper. They've got a lot of, like, promising young guys. You know, we talked about Kenny Lofton in the last two summers, how he's looked, but I don't know that they're ready to just like put him out there on a regular basis, you know, during regular season NBA games. And Xavier Tillman, I mean, he's been kind of useful at times, but again,
because of injuries.
Yeah. Again, it's just kind of filling in. So, I mean, if they're serious about trying to compete, I think they need some upgrades here for their bench, and I just don't know how they're going to do that right now. So, yeah, I think they're taking a step back this year. We'll have to see. But, yeah, it's not looking too great. But I love JJJ. I think he's a first-rounder. And I love Desmond Bain, too. Want to give him a shout-out. And he got his extension. We talked about that. Yeah, he's a solid, you know, probably like third-, fourth-roundish kind of guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, everybody else, I'm just kind of like, meh. You know, Marcus Smart, he's kind of a late round guy, definitely worth drafting, especially in the short term with Ja being out. But I do think that he'll stay in the starting lineup even when Ja gets back. His value will take a hit, but that's okay. He does enough stuff, especially in nine categories. You can definitely use him.
No, I completely agree with everything you're saying. I do think Marcus Smart stays in that position in the starting lineup for sure. When Ja returns, I did also, I'm looking at these salaries of these players, and I don't know where Memphis is on the, I didn't look it up. I probably should have, where they are as far as team cap and things, but it looks like they're going to have tons of room moving forward. And maybe that's what they're looking at, is more future, not do anything right now, just sit, take the step back, like you said, and maybe there's free agents, you know, in the next.
I think it makes sense. And then plus keep in mind, they, you know, they just extended Desmond Bain, you know, Jaws basically got his, you know, max deal,
yeah.
JJJ, you know, so they've got, they're starting to look almost like that Phoenix Suns-y kind of, you know,
build. Yeah, I think they're just waiting. I think they're just waiting for somebody. Maybe there's somebody they have in mind. Maybe that's a place that sounds stupid, but maybe it's a place that Bronny can end up.
No, it's not stupid at all. That's not stupid at all. And what a fit that would be, bringing, you know, his dad in for the short term,
having
to help them actually try to compete.
Zaire Williams there. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's connections there. There'd be,
yeah.
I don't know.
You might be onto something there. That's a good call.
But
yeah, but we'll see.
No, there's definitely that option there. But they don't have, the depth, like you said, to, they'll compete though. I mean, they have enough talent to compete, but not go far or anything. So, but yeah, as far as fantasy, you get those people that you mentioned, and yeah, I don't think there's anything else past that, but
Conchar and Kennard are late round flyers, like last round flyers, if you want to take a flyer on either of those guys. And just, you know, if you're drafting after preseason or whatever, just watch them in preseason. And if either of them stand out, go grin.
All right. So
speaking of Phoenix,
I was going to say, we got two down and we got the Phoenix Suns, who, let's see, last year finished 45-37, finished fourth in the West. Obviously you got pretty much dismantled by the Nuggets.
Yep.
Did you see that?
Then they retooled.
Did you see that Bruce Brown, he had the podcast comment and he said that Minnesota was the most difficult series for them. And I was like, okay. He made me feel good about picking about Minnesota to beat them in the first round. I was like, I like this. You make me feel a little smart.
I was wondering if you were like sitting there with them or something. If that was going to be a segment on our podcast.
I'm like feeding him notes and stuff like that. But Matt Ishbia, you know, Michigan State.
That's the one.
Yeah, he's
changing things.
He's changing things. He's making moves. You know, when he first came in, you know, we were all, you know, positive about everything that he was saying and doing. Then he was kind of saying and doing some stuff that was making us scratch our heads. But now, I mean, I like the build that they have and kind of the approach that they're taking with this team. You know, they've said, hey, look, we've got all the star power at the top and we can afford it as long as we fill out our roster, you know, strategically. I used that term before, strategically cheap. Yes. And that's exactly what they've done. And it's been perfect.
And I likened it to a daily fantasy team.
That's exactly what they're doing. And that was a great comp too, because that's what they've done now. Like, as soon as he bought the team, they went out and got Kevin Durant during the season, and then they acquired Bradley Beal this summer. And so at the top there, they've got Beal, they've got Booker, they've got Durant, and they've got DeAndre Ayton. So that's kind of their core. And they surrounded those guys with just nothing but, like, you know, like I said, strategically cheap players. And then this trade that happened with Campaign, in doing that, it sounds like they've basically announced that Bradley Beal's going to start at point guard for them. And he's going to be kind of the one sort of facilitating the offense. I still think Booker's going to bring the ball up a ton. And obviously Durant's going to do his thing. Between the three of them, the usage is going to be up there. And I do think Beal will still, even if he's quote unquote the starting point guard, I still think he takes a hit. He's already, the last two seasons in fantasy, he's been kind of like a top 50 to top 75 guy. And I think that's probably where he finishes this season. And that's kind of where I'm looking at him in drafts. I'm not looking at him in the top 50. I think more like around 60, 70 range. But I'm not excited to draft him. I think he's just, you know, there's too much going on there. Obviously, if there's an injury or something, then his value would spike. But, you know, he's coming off of two kind of downish years, getting a little older, and now on that team. He's still obviously draftable, but he's not a guy that I'm real excited about. And Devin Booker, he's, you know, it depends on kind of like your league format and settings and stuff, but he's a guy that I think kind of just, I hate to say it, but he gets overdrafted. you know, I think he's a fine player, and he's another one that's like, he's got room to grow. So I'm not like trying to say that he's just, you know, garbage or anything like that, but he's not a guy that I'm like excited about drafting. I still love drafting Kevin Durant. Now, I don't know. He's going to probably, he might wind up falling out of the first round. He might be more of like an early second rounder. I think people will kind of get scared off a little bit because he's getting older. You know, there are questions about durability and stuff like that, but you know, the talent's still there per game. You know, he's always like a first round per game guy. So, you know, he's got that upside. He's still a great player. And, you know, if you're drafting on the turn, you could take him, you know, with your first or second pick, and you know, that's a fine pick.
Man, could you imagine if you get both of them back to back? I think Booker, like, I think Booker would go higher, like you said, but
I wouldn't take, like, if I was drafting at the turn, like, let's say I'm in a 12 team league. So I've got picks 12 and 13. I'm fine with taking Durant with one of those picks. I'm not fine with taking Booker there. I think that's too high for me personally. But again, it depends on your league format. You know, I'm talking about like if you're doing a 9 category head to head. And also, I mean, you got to be kind of careful. That brings up a good point too. When you're in fantasy, there are advantages and disadvantages to pairing up real life teammates. So you got to kind of be careful with that. You don't want to do it too much. You don't want to invest too much in one team. It's a different approach if you're doing a playoff league. You know, we talked about all that. But in regular season leagues, I think you got to kind of be careful with that. And then, you know, we've talked all about DeAndre Ayton, the ups and downs of him and his career. And he came out the other day and said, you know, I know everybody's kind of down on me right now. I'm trying to flip that script and, you know, kind of change that narrative, but
better luck next year.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you can say right now. And then we've talked about their bench. I don't think any of these guys are fantasy worthy. You know, unless something happens as far as like injuries, or if someone happens to step up and step into big minutes. But I think that fifth spot, I kind of see,
can move Ayton, maybe, who knows.
They could. And like I said, like we said, those rumors, I don't think are going anywhere. I think we're going to, and as long as he's on that team, we're going to continue to hear the rumors. But if they come out real strong and win a bunch of games early, and he looks comfortable playing with those other three guys, that might shut off the rumors a little bit, at least temporarily. But that is always an option that they could turn around and move him. So we'll have to see. As far as their fifth spot in the starting lineup, I do think Josh Okogie is going to start at the three. But they'll, I mean, anybody that they brought in is certainly capable of starting there and, you know, playing a big role. But I think they're just going to kind of like all those guys will be interchangeable. I think Bol Bol will get some run behind Durant and Ayton. But obviously the guys at the top, they're going to get a ton of minutes and stuff. So I think a lot of these other guys are just going to kind of, you know, bounce off each other and almost kind of cancel each other out in fantasy. So,
yeah, I agree with you with Bradley Beal. I don't think he's on my list. I think he's down at like 70 or something. He's down there. I'm on the fence about the Devin Booker thing because we saw, you know, how they kind of thinned out the lineup at the end of last year, and he just like turned into beast mode in the playoffs and things like that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. He was outstanding in the playoffs. Outstanding.
So again, if you, I talked about last week with the recency bias with Jamal Murray, I think that kind of stuff moves Booker up, and we see the potential of how he can kind of take over games and just do good. I guess I have him higher. I do have him in my top.
And you're absolutely right. And that's why I said sometimes he gets overdrafted because he does that. I mean, he'll play really well in the playoffs, and that recency bias. He's a big name guy too. He's a very likable guy too. I mean, he's a Detroiter. We like him here.
Yes, sir.
You know, but having said that, in the regular season, you know, I'm looking at the 9 category rankings right now as we speak. He was 29th.
Yeah.
Overall. So no. He's not a bad player by any means, but he's not like a first rounder. If he's playing like that, he's, you know, kind of a second, third, you know, kind of around that range. So I've got him around 30 on my list. And you know, it depends on your league format and stuff, but someone's going to take him before 30. He won't slide past the second round almost in any draft.
Not at all.
But for me, I'm not like super excited to draft him until like that late second round. That's when I'm starting to look at him. And again, it depends on your team build too.
I think I've had opportunities in the past to draft him in, you know, late first rounds and things like that. In my mind right now, I'm like, okay, I would do it. But then when I think realistically about who I would see on the board at that time, there's no way I would probably do it. There'd definitely be somebody else that I'm going to pick over him at that point. So
yeah, I mean, it all depends on your team build too, and kind of like the direction that you think you're going to go. Like if you think you're going to miss out on a lot of scoring, you could take him and then build around him a little bit, you know, with some other guys that maybe do some other stuff. But again, you know, you just got to kind of strategize. And again, it depends on, you know, what kind of league you're in and what your league settings are. And we'll have a whole conversation about that. I'm looking forward to doing that. But in any case, I think that's all I've got to say on Phoenix.
I was going to say, I don't know. Sometimes I'm hesitant about the strategy too with what Phoenix is doing. Like, I like the idea of you get these, you know, these great superstar players and then just put, you know, strategically cheap people around them. But at the same time, like one of those guys, let's say, gets injured, or it makes so many the strong points are so small that defenses can change based on just, you know, we're going to stop Booker and Durant. Who else is going to beat us?
Yeah.
I don't know if that is going to work.
Yeah. And also, I mean, injuries. I mean, if anything happens to one of those guys and they have to adjust and, when you're top heavy like that, you're really relying on those guys. You know, they all have to be out there and it has to work. If it doesn't work, I mean, you don't really have anything you could do, you know?
Yeah. But we'll see how good those guys are when everybody's game planning just for them, which maybe people already have in the past and we've already seen it, but I don't know. It's just got some doubts in my head. That's all.
And I think that conversation is a perfect segue into the Lakers.
Agreed.
Because they're doing, you know, a very similar build, you know. They've got Anthony Davis, LeBron James at the top. And they spent a little bit of money. They carefully surrounded those guys with handpicked players that they think will fit well with them. But they had to spend a little bit more to do it. We talked all about it. They brought back D'Angelo Russell. I still think he's probably the starter at the point. But they also brought in Gabe Vincent. So I think those two are going to kind of battle a little bit. And we'll have to see in training camp who looks better with that starting unit. I'm sure they're going to test them both out. So we'll have to kind of see how that goes. They brought back Austin Reeves, Emo Austin. Mm-hmm. You know, I do expect that he'll take one of those guard spots in the starting lineup. It's possible that he comes off the bench. We'll have to see. You know, LeBron, obviously, he's still starting. Anthony Davis is going to start. I think Davis is going to stay at the center spot. And I think that power forward spot will just, you know, between Jared Vanderbilt, Rui Hachimura, who they brought back. They brought in Taurean Prince, Cam Reddish they brought in. He's going to get, you know, a chance. And then they also brought in Jackson Hayes, who I think has some upside. I don't think Hayes is a starter. I see him strictly as a backup five.
Agreed.
In terms of fantasy, it's kind of the same story, man. I think Anthony Davis, you know, we know all about the history with going to the locker room and all the injury stuff, but the talent is so, you know, high. The per game upside's always there. I still think he's a first rounder. I think he's a late first rounder. Or again, like if you're on the turn, you know, you can start your draft with like a KD and AD pairing. It's a gutsy move. Mm-hmm. Especially in head-to-head, but the upside's there. You can't really argue against it in terms of like the per-game upside. So, and build, because I mean, there's your defense, scoring. You get a lot just out of those two guys, so that would be really cool. I think LeBron is really starting to slide now in drafts. I see him as more of like a, like, he's always going to get drafted high because he's popular. I see him going in most second rounds, but I could see him in, like, you know, more competitive leagues falling to the third round.
Completely agreed.
Falling into like the 30s.
Yes. Yes.
Fine with taking him there.
Yeah. Nope. I'd take him at the end.
Me personally, I don't want to take him second round, but if he falls, I'm cool with taking him.
I agree. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people better than him to take in the top two rounds.
He's getting older. He's going to be load managed, and they brought in all these guys partly for that reason, to like fill in for him when he's out.
Yeah. Lakers are interesting because I know I said, like, after they made, you know, got these re-signings and made a couple moves here in the offseason, get like Gabe Vincent, that I was like, man, I really like the Lakers to maybe come out of the West this year coming up. Just way too early, you know, observation. And I think it's probably, I got hit with just how well they played last year going through the playoffs and obviously got dismantled by Denver. But I look at their roster and it doesn't really impress me. It's weird. Like on paper, it doesn't look that great. But on the floor, I feel like it translates a little bit better. So I don't know. It will be interesting going forward. I don't know about Gabe Vincent, honestly. I have my doubts with him moving and things. I don't know if last year was just a flash in the pan, I guess.
We talked about him in the playoffs, too. He was kind of up and down.
Yeah, so hopefully he is. I'm rooting for him. I love him.
I think he's a good pickup if they're going to use him as like a backup point guard. I mean, I can't really argue with that, but they had to spend a little bit to get him, too. So it kind of has to work. But again, just like we said with Phoenix, it all comes down to the top, you know, the top two guys. They got to be healthy. They got to, you know, they got to do their thing. They can't have any kind of drop off, because if they do, this team doesn't stand a chance.
Agreed. Is that all you have in the Lakers?
Yeah.
Is that there? Okay. I think we're running pretty late here towards an hour on the pod. So I think we leave Utah and Portland to start next week. But
time to go, Maryland.
We don't want these things getting too long, and people get some precious time. So, so Utah with Walker Kessler and Portland, maybe, but probably not. That situation will be sorted out in a week. I doubt it. I think that's going to be many weeks here. So, But again, we thank everybody for listening to Menace Podman. Of course, you can find new episodes every week. We've been pretty consistent getting them out on Thursday night here, Thursday evening. So, look for them every Thursday. You can find us on Twitter or on Threads now. I have added that at Menace Podman. Nice. We always like to thank Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, all those places that allow us to share our podcast so everybody can listen to it. So again, as always, special thanks to Good Pods, FeedSpot, for helping us get the exposure and recognizing Menace Podman. And we always encourage you to leave a review. Please leave a rating, any rating. Don't care. It's just not a bad one, but just leave it, please. I know there's more people that listen to. I say it every week. Just please leave us a rating. It helps us move up the charts. So,
put them out there.
Yep. So hopefully you like what you hear, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
And Miss Parliament.